we occupy, you know, this kind of inner place, which is not something limited by definition. And that I like that very much. We're not defined so much here. I mean, we call ourselves Sufi, but Sufi itself is a term that can be extremely broad or, you know, more narrowly applied to the lineages that came from the descendants of the Prophet and the Esau. So, and then, you know, again, what is a Sufi? I mean, that's a term that mystics have been asking and posing over the centuries and generations, and you get the most varied kind of responses to that. So, through some definition, we don't even qualify. We wouldn't even qualify, honestly, because, you know, it's someone who's so exaltedly, completely eradicated in the divine being and returned only through God. So we're not there yet. But through other definitions, we are embraced by that. So I think we're not so much into definition here, except as it serves us a purpose of deepening our spiritual life, you know. And as such, then, definitions are temporary. They, you know, certain definitions of what states are or what we should be looking for in ourselves, where how we should focus when we do our tesbih, and these kind of things are very important. But, you know, in a sense, each one is a certain vehicle that is then left as you reach the place that it takes you to. So, so my own understanding was that we are going toward this kind of community in the world, you know, a much larger, vaster community that's not limited by the traditional definitions of religion and ritual, you know, or the way you do your prayer, for instance. The way you do your prayer, or whether you go to Mass, or whether you pray to God by prostration, or whether you prostrate one way, whether you prostrate full length, all of this, in a certain sense, has defined people. And so, obviously, that remains, and we are drawn to certain forms, certain expressions of love, you know, maybe more than others, or simply because our human nature is limited, so we have to focus on one. And focus is very important. In fact, today there is a tendency so much to spread our attention so far. And with internet and Facebook and, you know, all the diversity that is available to us, that that is a real spiritual danger. So we're kind of in the middle here, you know, where we focus intensely on certain things in order to sharpen our inner focus, in order to open the eye of our heart to be able to see. And inshallah, to go from then witnessing to actually then being immersed in. So that is, you know, there are different stages of unfolding of our human reality. And we're like a kind of gift package, you know. And so there are layers and layers and layers. There's no end to spiritual discovery and spiritual evolution. And this life will pass through to, inshallah, you know, another life even more with more potential and more spiritual power and vistas and possibilities. So there is no end. We're just at the very, very, very beginning. But like at the beginning of any journey, you have to be very careful. In fact, the beginning of the journey is extremely important. How do you prepare? What are you going to take, you know, on your journey? So how do you aim? That's why they say, you know, like the rocket ship, if it goes into space, well, if the calculations were slightly off, it's going to veer way off. And so the beginning, which is where we are now, extremely important to learn to focus and concentrate ourselves and become one You know, that's part of the union, is also that we become one, that we become aligned, and that our purpose sort of flows through our whole being. So if on the one hand we say, yeah, I love God, but then on the other hand we're just, you know, which is normal, that's kind of our beginner state, you know, and then on the other hand we're doing all these other things, we're totally distracted, and but we know somewhere in our core that we really want to come to a life in God. So it takes time. It takes time to bring all those energies and all those levels, all those faculties into focus, and learn to, you know, harmonize and tame them. Bismillah. Well, this actually talks a little bit about what I was talking about. The heart that is obsessed. Allah Most High proclaims, O my prophet David, warn the children of Israel against their obsessions, for the heart that is obsessed veils its own natural perception of me. This khabar was transmitted to the sage Abu Ja'far al-Jazari. And it was given to the prophet David, peace be upon him, for his community, but of course it's the same teaching given to all the prophets for their community and to spiritual teachers. So it's interesting, here it's seen as obsession. So our distraction is originating from our obsessions. So one obsession we might have is to be entertained. You know, we all love to be entertained. and that's where we spend a lot of energy in that field. And it's important to, because at these times also we're focusing on Tesbih. The community knows we're trying to re-inspire ourselves to our spiritual practices and to understand them on a deeper level, and then to offer them on a deeper level. And so we are also being asked to look, what is getting in the way of doing our Tesbih? One of the things people say is, well, I don't have time, you know. So that's an interesting response. And it's true. I mean, certainly today's demands are such, just to survive, particularly in this city and in other cities, you know, the work that is required of people is a lot. And much more than maybe traditionally, where you had at least times of rest, you know, whether you were hunters or whether you were farmers, there was always periods of rest. And now it seems there's almost none. We're just with the machine age and the technological age, and, you know, we're, and then with the cell phone age and then the computer age and the Facebook age, it's almost like a ceaseless thing. But then the Facebook becomes part of that, you know, you call downtime or that kind of relaxation. And then television also certainly is relaxed. So after you've been working so hard, it's very natural. So one of my things is that I think people work too hard. And I do hope and pray that, inshallah, gradually there will be less time asked of people for their work. I've noticed it's very interesting. Over time, I've seen dervishes who've been on the path a while. Somehow, you know, things are kind of arranged for them so that their work time, see, that's all good news for you who are overworking, those of you. And because Allah desires us. And so Allah desires our presence and our time. And if we commit ourselves, then you will see things do get easier. But what's very important is to also realize that we're making preferences. We're making choices. And that's part of being a dervish, is to take full responsibility for our life. So because we sometimes think, oh, it's just things are imposed upon me and this is the way the modern world is, or this is the way my family situation is. No. We are now adults. We've been initiated. This gives us a tremendous human advantage. And so we have to take full responsibility for everything that's happening in our life. So if we don't have time, that's a choice of ours, that we don't have time, because there's always time. That means that we're making preferences, we're putting certain things. But that's an important realization, you know? And it empowers us, it makes us realize, no, it's our choice. And then maybe that we will be able to open up a little more time for our, you know, just being present with Allah, not being so distracted and pulled into the world. That's something we really have to watch out for. And ultimately, we want to be in complete remembrance and presence with God, and at the same time, able to flow and to do everything that is required to be done, and to be able to communicate with people, but not to see any separation. Because mostly, as soon as we start doing something, we forget. I mean, you know, maybe not every one of us here, but a lot of us. And then we have to stop doing, we have to sit and focus. Well, inshallah, ultimately, we will be in tesbih, we will be in zikr, in all of our states, you know. But for that to happen, we have to very much focus on our spiritual practice. And I want to re-encourage you to your spiritual practice, because sometimes it's hard if you're always on your own. And traditionally, society is much more collective. So people were. They were just naturally praying together, offering salat, offering tesbih together. And now we've all so isolated, you know. And in a sense, sometimes we might feel that this dervish path isolates us even more because, well, not very many people out there are on a dervish path, you know. So then we're going to maybe feel even more separate from other people. But that's, again, just a moment, because actually it connects us on a much deeper level to our human, other human beings and all beings. It connects us to the essence of being. So, but you know, it might not be that kind of occasional thing on the outer level. But that's why it's also good to foster friendships in the community, and then be able to do things together and pray together, or even talk about things together and you know, support each other. That's very important. So finding time is very important. And sometimes we have to pull back. We have to pull back from the Facebook involvement, you know, and go to what's more important. Because just tell yourselves, you know, I can do Facebook from now to eternity, but, you know, is that going to take me to God? You know, it's fun, and it's so much fun. I myself have to resist. I'm not on Facebook, but, you know, I'm email, and I have to resist. I have to say, no, go to the one who is always there. You know, go to the one that you really need to go to and pull back. And so there, again, that's something that is difficult. We have to counter the energy flow, which is always out, always out, always do, connect, show, be, you know, and it's not easy always to pull in. But at least just for moments, that's all it really takes, is one real moment of sitting every day with Allah. And, you know, inshallah, either in tesbih or even in silence. It can be totally silent and receptive. That's how we should begin anyway. Oh Allah, I am hearing you, Ya Sami, you know. The Sema is, after all, the zikr, it's called the Sema, is the zikr first of hearing Allah. And hearing, where do we hear Allah, you know? We really hear Allah in the heart. And then we can hear Allah everywhere. Then we will, you know, be like Mansur al-Halaj, who heard Allah when the carriage wheels ground in the streets. You know, we can hear Allah in the whirring of the fans, as some have in this masjid, or in the voices of nature and the voice of humanity. So, yeah. So counter obsessions and go to what's deeper Because obsessions also are very related to fear, I think. Obsessions, if we think about it, what is the core of our obsessions? It's often fear. Because even like greed or that need or that, you know, those kind of obsessive things, I think it comes from the fear of being disconnected. So, therefore, our practice should be essentially to feel our connection. So we sit and we feel our connection. We say we sit on the prayer rug of God, of Allah. Sit with Allah on Allah's prayer rug. That's where we should do our tasbih and our contemplation. One of my questions to myself, and when I think about our community, how do we make it even more transparent? And it's interesting because there's a balance again. There's always that balance, and one has to seek that middle point. Because, you know, just as Sheikh Noor filtered out so much of the cultural aspect that came with the tradition, you know, that was very much one of his missions, I guess, but not that he assigned it to himself. It just, that was his very nature that kind of did it. He was a person of essence, and he acted as a filter just to receive more the essential forms of the tradition. But also we have to be careful that to look at our own Western glasses, you know, because that's something that needs to be filtered out too. Because we're not just saying, oh, well, we're just going to Westernize this tradition. No, we have to, and he did that too. In certain instances, we have certain assumptions, cultural assumptions. And of course, you don't see your own, you tend not to see your own cultural assumptions. You see other people's cultural assumptions. And so, but it's as important to root those out as the other, even though they're very comfortable. But we have to see if they really are the truth. Finally, what we want is the truth. We want to become the truth and merge with the truth. And so whatever is not serving that and whatever is not reflecting that then is something that we don't really need. I mean, not to say that we can't have it as an adornment or piece of clothing or that we can't adopt certain manners, you know, but we want the essence. So, you know, I realized, for instance, as over the years, some time ago already, it was, I think, when Noor was still alive, and it came as a shock. Maybe it came through something he said to me, how much my own formation was from the period of the 60s and, you know, a certain way of seeing society, a certain way of behaving and assumptions. And, of course, it all every time has its beauty and its necessity and that its own divine creativity. So it's very subtle. So we cannot reject anything. Because that is usually, the traditionalist will reject anything new. They'll say, no, this is bid'ah. Effendi was remarkable because he did not reject. In fact, he loved his people. He loved the culture in America, for the most part, except for certain things, you know, which... But, so he had that capacity to see what in the new was really serving humanity and was good. And what was, you know, maybe could be further developed. And, you know, one of the things that we're aware of by now is that great individuality. It's wonderful. It has helped people, you know, grow and be able to express themselves free from so many social fetters and obligations. And we know what a traditional society can be extremely imprisoning. But the individuality can be just as an imprisoning because it can be a limitation. So it's really to keep investigating and to keep looking and to... We are people of essence, inshallah. And so people of essence, you take the colors of the beloved and you take the colors of the moment, of however the beloved manifests at that moment. And, you know, ultimately, we don't have our own preferences. Ultimately, our preferences are the beloved's preferences, you know. So, but inshallah, so we have to keep working. We have to keep working. So one of the things, you know, maybe in our community, a little bit of a vacuum, a little bit of, and we need that. We need our own matrix. We need our own protective womb in order to be able to keep developing, evolving, and to have our own, you know, we can't just, you know, be like everyone else or just totally flow with the moments. No. So, I mean, of others or take on the needs of others. But again, it's a balance. It's amazing. We, you know, it's neither this nor that, and it's always the hard. The middle is the most mature, and it's the most difficult to achieve. It's easy to be an extreme on either side. You know, you kind of fall into extremes. But to come to the middle, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, our master said, you know, mine is the middle way, and for good reason. But there are many, many levels to that.